Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, chapter 36, text number 17. All right. Let's repeat. Yashodaya sutam kanyam. Yashodaya sutam kanyam. Devakya krishnamevacha. Devakya krishnamevacha. Ramam cha rohini putram. Ramam cha rohini putram. Vasudevena bibhyata. Vasudevena bibhyata. Nyastau swamitri nandevai. Nyastau swamitri nandevai. Yabhyam te purushahata. Yabhyam te purushayathata. Yashodaya sutam kanyam. Devakya krishnamevacha. Ramam cha rohini putram. Vasudevena bibhyata. Nyastau swamitri nandevai. Yabhyam te purushahata. Chauda. Sutam, the daughter. Kanyam, the female child. Devakya, of Devaki. Krishnam, Krishna. Evacha, also. Ramam, Balaram. Cha, and. Rohini Putram, the son of Rohini. Vasudevena, by Vasudev. Bibhyata, who was afraid. Nyastau, placed. Swamitre, with his friend. Nande, Nanda Maharaj. Why, indeed. Yabhyam, by wish too. Te, your. Purusha, man. Hataha, have been killed. Translation. This is Narada speaking to Kamsa. Yashoda's child was actually a daughter, and Krishna is the son of Devaki. Also, Rama is the son of Rohini. Out of fear, Vasudev entrusted Krishna and Balaram to his friend Nanda Maharaj, and it is these two boys who have killed your man. Purport by Sri Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Kamsa had been led to believe that Krishna was the son of Yashoda and that Devaki's eighth child had been a daughter. The identity of Devaki's eighth child was extremely important to Kamsa because the prophecy had foretold that her eighth child would kill him. Here Narada informs the king that the eighth child of Devaki was the formidable Krishna, thus implying that the prophecy should be taken very seriously. Having received this information, Kamsa obviously will now do everything in his power to kill Krishna and Balaram. Yashodaya sutam kanyam devakya krishnamevacha ramancha rohini putram vasudevena bibhyata nyastau swamitrinandevai yabhyam te purusha hataha. Translation again. Yashoda's child was actually a daughter and Krishna is the son of Devaki. Also, Rama is the son of Rohini. Out of fear, Vasudev entrusted Krishna and Balaram to his friend Nanda Maharaj, and it is these two boys who have killed your man. Om Agyana Timrandasya Gananjana Srakaya Shakshamalitam Yanatasmai Sri Garoe Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasapare Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityananda Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Picharini Nivisesa Sunyori Vasichadi Shatarini. So now Narada Muni here is revealing to the king, King Kamsa, who is actually Krishna. If you all remember, just to retrace our steps back in the beginning of the 10th canto, how when Vasudev and Devaki, they were getting married, and Kamsa is actually the brother of Devaki, and he was driving this chariot of Vasudev and Devaki, when a voice, an ominous voice from the sky, announces to him that, Kamsa, you are a fool. You do not know that the eighth child of this lady will kill you. And Kamsa, as soon as he heard that, without any consideration, he picked up his sword and wanted to kill his sister on her marriage day. That's the one of the mentality of a demon, is that he only think of himself. He does not think of anyone else. A very selfish mentality. This is demonic mentality. They are the Kripanas and the Brahmanas. The Kripanas are very miserly mentality. Just thinking in terms of me, I am me, aham ameti. One who is attached to this material world, he thinks in terms of aham ameti, I and mine. What is good for me and what is mine. But the Brahmana, they are broad-minded. They think of the welfare of others. So Kamsa wanted to kill his sister. And Vasudev, seeing the situation quickly, he stopped Kamsa. And like Aniruddha Prabhu was saying yesterday, he was quoting how Prabhupada, sometimes we have to use our intelligence and praise. Just like when we are preaching, we don't go up to people and say, you're a fool, you're a rascal. Sometimes devotees in the beginning, they do that. Because Prabhupada is doing that. So he said we should follow in the footsteps of Prabhupada in his preaching. So we call people fools and rascals. Now how successful would that kind of preaching be? But Prabhupada teaches us how to preach also. That we approach, especially we approach people who consider themselves to be very learned, who are very rich, successful in the material world. He said, my dear sir, you are so intelligent. You are so qualified. Actually, this is taught by Prabhupada Saraswati. That, my dear sir, you are so intelligent, you are so qualified, you are so full of good qualities. And they say, oh, yes, what can I do for you? I have a humble request. Can you please put aside all these so-called qualities and then just accept the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Or accept the mercy of Krishna. So when we preach to people, we do not. You see, when Prabhupada sometimes he preached very strongly, but you have to also understand the position of Prabhupada. First of all, he is very aristocratic, and he's a very elderly gentleman, very knowledgeable, and he's also founder acharya of a religious movement. So when he speaks strongly, people may accept that. But if we do that, they'll think, who is this upstart? Especially if we are young. You say, who is this young Turk trying to tell me what to do? So like when we distribute books, we say, oh yeah, when you are a very intelligent man, I'm sure you'll be able to understand this very sophisticated knowledge. Normally, this sophisticated knowledge is not meant for ordinary people, but since you're very intelligent, and sometimes when we approach people, we say, actually, we are here, we're distributing some samples of these books, but I think you are intelligent enough to understand this. We don't give it out to everyone. But I think you look like a very intelligent person, very sophisticated. You'll be able to understand the intricate nature of all this knowledge. Oh, really? And then when they turn on the books, they read, and Prabhupada is, especially in the seventh canto, is Very often he used the words fools, rascals, fools and rascals, and he keep reading fools and rascals and fools and rascals. What is he talking about? And after a while, I realized, hey, wait a minute, he's talking about me. So, but because he's not been challenged personally, he may start to consider, what do you mean? You keep calling me fool and rascal. He's calling, and he may actually contemplate on that. So Vasudeva, he approached Kamsa in that way. Say, you are actually a great hero. Very qualified. You are the hero of the Bhoja dynasty. And you have such a good reputation. Although you don't have a good reputation. He said, you have such a good reputation. If you kill your sister, your reputation will be ruined. So he's actually, he understand. He was appealing to the Kshatriya nature of Kamsa. The quality of the Kshatriya is described in the 18th chapter. Is one of the qualities, Ishvara Bhava. He's very concerned about his power, his strength, his reputation. You read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, so much has been talked about reputation, the reputation of the dynasty, your reputation will be spoiled. Losing your reputation is worse than death, and this kind of thing. So Vasudeva was appealing to Kamsa, your reputation will be spoiled if you kill your sister on her marriage day. And besides, we all die anyway. And anyway, the prophecy is that the eighth child of your sister is going to kill you, so there's no harm going to be coming from your sister. So why do you worry? So in this way, Vasudeva, he promised that every child that is born will deliver to you. So in this way, at least he neutralized the situation. So Kamsa went about killing all the other six child. And in the Bhagavatam, as described in this verse, the seventh child was actually Balaram. Now when Devaki had the seventh child, early on Krishna instructed Yogamaya, say you go there, and he said my expansion, Ananta Dev, Shesha, is residing in the womb of Devaki. So you transfer your Yogamaya, you transfer him to the womb of Rohini. So Devaki had what is known as a miscarriage. The child did not come to take birth because he was transferred. So it was considered to have a miscarriage. But at that time Rohini was also pregnant. And in her dream, she dreamt that she had a miscarriage. And when she woke up, she actually noticed the sign of miscarriage. But still, the pregnancy was there. So she actually lost the other child, and Balaram was transferred from the womb of Devaki to Rohini. So it's described how actually Ananda Shesha appeared in the womb of Devaki to prepare for the appearance of Krishna. So in that part of Bhagavatam is Vishwana Chakravarti, he explained, because someone may ask actually how the first six childs of Devaki, they were the Satgabas, sometimes also known as Satgabas Asuras, been residing there. How can that place be fit enough for Krishna to appear? That's why Balaram appears to prepare, to make it suitable for Krishna to appear there. So Vishwana Chakravarti, he went on to explain that just like the devotee, when he absorbed himself in the process of devotional service, the nine processes of devotional service, Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Achanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atman, Nivedanam. Nine process of hearing, chanting, remembering, offering prayers, worshipping, serving the Supreme Lord, taking up his mission, becoming a friend, and Atmani Vedanam, surrendering everything. Actually, He described that even if one is perfect in performing just one of these activities, or one perform this activity nicely or perfectly, you can go back and practice Godhead. You can achieve perfection. Just like Shravanam, hearing, Maharaj Parikshit, is known as perfected just by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Sugadev by chanting Srimad Bhagavatam. Prahlad Maharaj, famous for remembering how he went through so many difficult situations by remembering Krishna. In fact, the amazing thing when we read from Srimad Bhagavatam 7th canto how the kind of tribulations that Hiranyakashipu Prahlad through. He was given poison, he was cooked in oil, he was thrown in a pit of poisonous snakes, he was they tried to kill him with sharp weapons, they threw him off a cliff, they put him in Siberia in the intense cold, or the Sahara Desert in the hot. They put him through so many tribulation, but later when Nrisimhadev wanted to give a benediction to Prahlad, Prahlad was saying, Naivat vijay paradurachya vaitaranyas vaveya gayana mahamrita makna chitta so cheta to vimukha cheta sa indriya. No, that's the last line. So cheta to vimukha cheta sa indriyata maya sukaya param udvahato vimutha. He said, I always find this verse very amazing. Prahlad said, I do not feel any disturbance. I mean, any ordinary person would be completely freaked out to be put into even a fraction of those circumstances. But he said, I do not feel any disturbances, even though I'm in the material world. Because, now he revealed the secret, because, he said, my consciousness, makna chitta, is absorbed in hearing about you. That's the secret. When our consciousness is absorbed in Krishna, in one of the nine processes of devotional service, one is not disturbed by the influences of the most of material nature. A very simple example is sometimes we may be doing something around in the temple and we may be banging on a nail and BAM! Oops! Actually, I do have something here. You bang on your thumb, and you are, oh, some people come in, they suck on their thumb, they put their thumb in the water. Their whole consciousness is on this thumb. They go and talk to their friend, oh, my thumb, you know what I did? I just bang on my thumb. They take it to the doctor, and I mean, the whole consciousness, nothing else exists. Nothing else matters anymore. My whole consciousness is absorbed in the thumb. Right? But then, some funny fellow came along, and Krishna Charan comes along, and he do some funny stuff. And we started joking, and you started laughing, and your conscious become diverted to something else, and you forget about the pain in the thumb. I remember I used to do that with my kids when they were small, and it works all the time with every kid. Mother can take note. Sometimes, you know, especially when they're small, they're always hurting themselves. Sometimes they walk, bam, they're lying on the floor, they're just trying to walk, crawl, and then poof, the hands are not strong enough, they have a dunderbutt, they hit the floor. and they bang on the floor, and then and normally the reaction is a bit slow for kids. Sometimes they have to realize, no, I'm supposed to feel pain, and I'm supposed to cry. So before it happened, I said, oh wow, what happened? You're so strong, look at the floor. You make a dent on the floor. And then he started looking. Yeah, you see here? There's a dent on the floor. And they forget about the pain. And they never cry. They didn't cry. And they just keep looking. Well, I say, wow, yeah, I'm so strong, I make a dent on the floor. whatever little chip, you know, you find, oh wow, you did that. He works all the time with all the small kids. Try that. And they won't cry. So you just see how You know, just by diving in the consciousness. So even though in the material world, that's why the devotee, they understand when we engage ourselves in the process of devotional service, we actually become free from the influences of the most of material nature. We become purified from the contaminations in the heart. But at the same time, the devotee also fear, their fear of this material world. It is good to have a good dose of fear of the material world. Srila Prabhupada, he once said, the difference between me and you is that I'm daily afraid of Maya, and you're not. So we're afraid of Maya in the sense that Maya is powerful. How often do we underestimate the power of Maya? Krishna has three main energies. You have the spiritual energy, the material energy, and then we are the marginal energy, Tathasta Shakti. So we being the marginal energy, either we are influenced by this superior energy, Krishna's energy, spiritual energy, or we are influenced by the material energy. We have to be influenced by one of these energy. So Ashraya means taking shelter of the spiritual energy. Krishna Ashraya or Guru Ashraya. In the also 7th canto, Prahlad Maharaj also said, Durashaya yeha yebahi atamanina. Durashaya means forced shelter. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said that one should take shelter of me. Mam chayo vyabhicharina bhakti yogena sevate saguna samati yaitan brahma bhuya kalpate. Those who surrender to me can cross over this guna, saguna, can cross over this most of material nature easily. But in the material world, as Prahlad Maharaj explained, durashaya yebahi atamanina. Normally, people take shelter of false things. That's why it's called durashaya, false shelter. Actually, this so-called shelter is existing only in the mind. Yeah, by atamanina. It's only in the mind that thinking they're having shelter. Just like now, it's raining in the evening. And we go out with a mental umbrella. So, oh, I have an umbrella. It's in my mind. I imagine myself having an umbrella. But that's not going to stop us from getting wet. So, even though we have an umbrella, we have to stand under the umbrella. Not like umbrella this way or that way. We have to stand under the umbrella. So Krishna is providing shelter, ashraya. But we have to take shelter of Krishna. So what does that mean, taking shelter of Krishna? We have to act under the protection of Krishna. That means acting in according to the process of devotional service. Always engage in the 9 processes of devotional service. And be afraid. Have a good dose of fear of Maya. Because Maya is very powerful. Just imagine how when we're chanting japa, for example, we are trying to absorb ourselves in our holy name. And we're chanting. And we're really chanting Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. And we're really hearing the holy name. And then after a while of hearing, we start thinking, say, I'm doing very well. I'm chanting really good rounds today. Just like when we were on Sankirtan, I'm chanting really good rounds today. I'm really hearing in my rounds. And then, wow, when I go on the street, I'm really going to do good. So it started off quite nicely. Somehow related to devotional, so I'm going to book distribution. I'm going to have a good day. And then it gradually go further, 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 further away, and there's nothing to do with Krishna anymore. Ever experienced that?
Yeah.
Every day. So this is how the mind, how Maya triggers. In that same purport quoted by Vishwanatha Chakravarti, he said how Marichi is situated in the mind, incarnation of the mind. And he has 6 sons. And these 6 sons refer to also the 6 Gabas, the Satgabas. Who are the 6 sons of Marichi? Kama, Korda, Loba, Moha, Mada, Masaya. Kama, lust, Krodha, anger, Loba, greed, Moha, illusion. Mada, madness. Messiah, envy. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he described these six as the highway robbers. He said one has to beware of the six highway robbers. Most of you are a bit young, but in the old days, when we were kids, we used to watch all these cowboy movies. And these cowboys, they are going on the stagecoach with a few guards, a few cowboy guards, and they have all these treasures or whatever, valuable things in the coach. And when they come to this valley with two rocks on both sides, then they start to get worried. And then they become very vigilant. And the red Indians are coming and they're coming down. And, you know. So we as devotees, we have to be vigilant. But very often, especially in the beginning, we are a bit more vigilant. But after some time, after we learn the basics of devotional service, we tend to be negligent. We tend to be careless. And then, okay, we're riding on the horse, Hare Krishna, and then inattentive in our performance of devotional service, we're riding on the horse, and suddenly we get plunder, BAM! We get hit by calm. Wow, what hit me? And then Krodha, all the six highway robbers came, coming, and then we're on the floor. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, one has to be vigilant. Be care, beware of the six highway robbers. Of karma, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, masalya. So, actually, it's amazing how Vishnu Chakravarti, he described these six way robbers, how the purification process of the devotees relating to the appearance of Krishna in the womb of Devaki. First, the six garbhas were killed by Kamsa. And so by the process of devotional service, actually one can free oneself from these six highway robbers, protect oneself from the six highway robbers, and our mind and heart become purified for Krishna to appear and recite them. So in this way, Balaram was transferred from the womb of Devaki to Rohini, and then Krishna appeared. I mean, when Krishna appeared, it's also how amazing how Yoga Maya worked. Because Devaki, being in the Vatsalya Ras, it was the motherly relationship with Krishna. They always want to protect Krishna. So after Krishna appeared in his fully manifested form, in all power of Narayan form, they are praying, Krishna, actually you're so effulgent, you're so big and so effulgent, how are we going to protect you? They did not manage to protect the other children. But so they asked, how are we going to protect you? Better you change yourself into a baby form, then maybe we can protect you better. So just see how Yoga Maya play on them. That, you know, that affection of wanting to protect the child. That's how the mother always feels. Always wanting to protect the child. In fact, Prabhupada said, there's the purest love in this material world is mother's love. That's the purest love. For example, a child, when they run out on the street, the mother will not hesitate, will just rush out to protect the child. She will not even hesitate or think of her own protection or own welfare. Just thinking of the welfare of the child. So they're saying, please, transform yourself into a small child so we can at least try to protect you. And Krishna told them, he said, alright, now I'm baby, you now take me to Yashoda. Nandagram. And Nanda, my mother Yashoda has just given birth to a baby girl. You change the baby and bring the baby girl back. So Vasudeva did that. And then Kamsa heard that the child was born, he came. And Devaki was trying to protect. He said, brother, just, you know, this eighth child is a son, supposed to kill you, but this is a daughter. You already killed six of my child. At least let me keep my daughter. But Kamsa did not. Just grabbed the baby and was trying to kill the baby, and the baby just slipped out of his hand. And when it was Durga Devi came out. I said, you rascal! You think you can kill me? He said, the child who is going to kill you is already born somewhere. So the Sahis is explaining the purport here that it's very significant. This information that Narada Muni was giving to Kamsa is very significant, because the prophecy was that the eighth child was going to kill. And Narada Muni is now telling Kamsa that the eighth child is actually Krishna. In order to protect Krishna, Vasudeva make a transfer and brought him to Vrindavan. So in this way, Narada Muni is accelerating the killing of Kamsa and the demons to facilitate Krishna's pastime. So are there any questions or comments? Or should I speak longer so they can finish up the magazine? Yes.
Prabhupada, can you tell us something about the Maya potency? Maya's covering potency and throwing potency.
Well, these are two potencies of Maya. To cover you over and drag you down. To cover our real intelligence. So Maya basically means that which is not. Illusion. That's what Maya means. That which is not. We think something it is, but actually something else. So it covers our real intelligence, and we pursue that, and it drags us down to the most of material nature. That's how Maya works. And sometimes, and not very often, it just starts very subtly. Very, very subtly. Anyone can just be easily influenced by Maya if we're not careful. And that's why it's so important, the association of devotees. Proper association of devotees is very, very important. The chanting of the holy name will protect us, but the association of devotees give us further protection. I remember a long time ago I asked this question, that if Maya is so subtle, then how are we going to know if we are in Maya? When we are in Maya, our intelligence is already covered. How do we know we are in Maya? Then the answer was that you have to have humility. You have humility. The answer is that. So one day, the temple president has come and tell you, say, Chiranjeev, you're in Maya! Oh, really? I'm in Maya. Maya, can you please instruct me? Please help me. Tell me what I should do. And because you have humility, you listen. And you take the advice, and you get out of Maya. But normally we do not have such humility. Although we chant in the morning, Trinata Pisani Chinna Taro Pisisna Amanena Manadina Kirtaniya Sadahari. One should be humbler than the blade of grass, more tolerant than the tree, always offering respect to others and not expecting respect in return. How is the grass? When we step on the grass just bow down. And when we walk away, stand up. I heard one time, long time ago, Sasuru Maharaj. Sasuru Maharaj is the one who wrote the Japa Reform Notebook. He was chanting in the Los Angeles temple. And one new doctor came up to him, said, Maharaj, you're not chanting properly. You look at him. Oh, okay, thank you very much. And he actually made a sincere effort to chant better. Imagine a new bhakta coming here. Haru, you're not chanting properly. Said, what do you mean I'm not chanting properly? I'm chanting perfect rounds today. Or when we're chanting, we're doing the sky bomber diving. You heard of the sky diving chajapa? That's called the skydiving japa. Isn't it? And they've got the aeroplane over there. So we're doing our skydiving japa. And then some Prabhu said, what are you doing? You're falling asleep, Prabhu. I'm not falling asleep. Krishna consciousness is very deep. I'm in deep concentration. You don't understand. So it requires some humility. The fact is, I mean, just analyze it. The fact is, you can always, there's always room for improvement, isn't it? There's always room for improvement. So even though someone may say, and you may not be saying, there's okay. Oh, thank you very much. And you take it as a sign from Krishna telling us, now, improve. Do it, be better. Improve it. Why not? What is the loss? What is the loss? Doesn't matter where it comes from. It's not that the instruction always have to come from high up. Sometimes Krishna gave us instruction from lower down. And sometimes Krishna give us instruction from the most unexpected source. There was one time one devotee, he was not doing very well in the temple. And he left the temple. He actually left the temple. He was going to go out to Maya. When he stepped just barely one block away from the temple, there was a drunkard. Came up to him and said, "Hey, you got a dog collar there, but where is the master?" And he really shook him up. He said, "Yeah, I got a dog collar here, but where is my master? I'm leaving my master." He turned around and walked back to the temple. So sometimes Krishna sends, you know, instruction in the most unexpected way. And we have to be open to hear it. We pray. How often? How? Isn't every day we pray, "Krishna, please give me your mercy. Oh, please give me your mercy." But the problem is we expect the mercy to come in a certain way. But Krishna is very intelligent. Yeah. He gave us mercy in so many different ways that are actually most beneficial to us. We expect in one way, it comes in another way. So you have to be very, very careful before you ask for mercy. Because when you ask for mercy, you have to be prepared. It can come in any form. Just like my experience on book distribution before, sometimes those days when you chant around really nicely, and you thought, "Wow, today is going to be a great day on Sankirtan." And it can turn out to be the toughest day. It can turn out to be so hard. But then I realized, because you chant around nicely, we read and we have good consciousness, and Krishna arranges those situations where we can actually handle those situations. Because of our consciousness, we can handle, and that purifies us even more. Krishna is more for him, Krishna is more eager for us to get purified. It's not only just purification of when we go and preach, it's only for others, but it's mainly for our purification. That when we are given class, when we're preaching, Prabhupada said 80% is for ourselves, 20% for the audience. So when we preach, it's 80% for ourselves. We're preaching actually also to ourselves. So sometimes on the street when we have a hard day and people are just being nasty, and it actually good for our purification. Help us to get rid of some of the false ego that we have. Because we have to swallow our pride. No, our pride, just our false ego is jumping out, almost like jumping out of the chest, just wanting to retaliate. "Who do you think you are, you nonsense, rascal, drunkard?" But you cannot do that. Doesn't matter how nasty people are to us, he says, "All right, thank you very much, sir. Hare Krishna, have a great day," and we go on to the next day. See, in this way, we leave the last person with good consciousness and bring the good consciousness to the next person. Imagine we get upset with that person we are preaching to or trying to distribute books to. "Nonsense, you're a nonsense rascal," and with that consciousness we're bringing it to the next person. That's not fair to the next person. So like that. So humility is very important to advance in Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada also showed that humility so many times. In the early days, they were at the airport waiting for the flight, and all the devotees came to the airport and they were all taking up all the seats. And one of the airport officials called up one of the devotees and said, "You know, maybe you can ask some of your followers to give up some of the seats, because the passengers no place to sit." So these devotees stood up on the chair and said, all the devotees, please get your seats. Sit on the floor. And Prabhupada also got up. And not you. But Prabhupada was thinking, all devotees, I'm also a devotee. You know? So he actually got up to give up his seat. And another time, what's the name of the confluence of three rivers? Allahabad. Prayag. I think it was Allahabad. Prabhupada was visiting there, and then some of the local Hindu leaders that came, and they were very, very agitated. They came into Prabhupada's room, and they was yelling at him and screaming at him, shouting at him, you know. They say, you're ruining Hindu Dharma. You're teaching Bhagavad Gita to all these marriages and yavanas, you're giving them Brahminization and on they were just yelling at him. And then the servant was like almost going to open the door and charge him and bash up these people. Well, who they think they are, you know, yelling at Prabhupada like that. But then another servant who has been with Prabhupada longer said, just cool down. Prabhupada can handle this. And they were all. And Prabhupada didn't speak a word. He was head down, just looking down. They were shouting and yelling and shouting. And then the shouting got quieter, and got quieter. And then they marched out and left the room. And Prabhupada defeated them without speaking a single word. He just defeated them by his humility. Because also, what's the use? If Prabhupada argued with them, they're just going to become more agitated and make more offenses. Right? So, time, place, circumstances, kala, patra, desha, we have to act differently. But definitely, not trina apisanicha, taro apisanicha, amanena, manadena, kitanya, sadahari. Very important. Because only when one develops this quality can one chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Kitaniya Sadahari. In fact, Krishna Das Kavaraj Goswami said one should hang this sloka around his neck for constant remembrance. One should constantly remember this. Because after all, the chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is also a prayer. And without humility, without real genuine humility, it's very difficult to offer sincere prayer. It's just like we come in front of the deities. Unless we have some genuine sincerity or humility, we can't offer sincere prayers to the deities. But when we have some humility, we can Krishna, please. Just like ask Krishna for help. If we don't have humility, then Krishna, help me. But when you have humility, and humility also understand our situation, how fearful my Maya is, and how delicate our situation is here in the material world, how easily we can just be swept by the most of material nature. Then we can offer sincere prayer, heartfelt prayers to Krishna. Krishna, please help me. As Prabhupada said, when we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, we should chant like a child is crying for the mother. Again, you use a child example. If a child, the mother may be doing some household work, and the child is like maybe sleeping, and then the child wake up. The mother, it's okay. The child is okay. You continue doing the household chores. And then the child make more noise. Making a bit more noise. And the mother is hearing. I think he'll still be fine. He'll continue doing his work. But when the child, like screaming and yelling, I'm hungry, feed me. Then the mother, this is getting serious now. Whatever he's doing, he will leave it. She will leave whatever she's doing and take care of the child. So when we are chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna,
Is he calling me?
I don't think so. He'll continue his lila. Oh, we chant a bit. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Alright. It's not serious enough. I mean, chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Krishna said, oh, he's calling me. What does this devotee want? He's calling me. And Krishna recognized. That's what Sri Bhakti Siddhanta is saying. Do not try to see Krishna, but act in such a way that Krishna wants to see you. How to get Krishna to see you? By doing something wonderful. Doing some wonderful activity. By chanting. Help build Mayapur. Oh, that Krishna recognizes. So any other?
Like,
we have two questions. Sorry. You have two questions? Raise two hands. Both hands. Haribo! Yes, Dr. Mahatma Prabhu. No, this young boy, he raises two hands, so I thought he had two questions. Yeah? Yes? You have a comment? Oh, that's the Kali Yuga, isn't it? Memory shot. Life is short, memory is short, not much strength, lazy, manda sumanda mata, manda bhagya bhagita. So, and we don't hold you back. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.